Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. From God's holy word in Romans chapter 10 and the first part of chapter 11. God inspired Paul to write it to the church at Rome, and it is for us as well today. Romans chapter 10, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God, and said against Israel, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is also a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that for which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Let's give thanks for God's word, both to give us the doctrine that we need to know, but also describe what God does in his wonderful way of grace, all because of Christ. Our Father, first of all, we give thanks for giving us what we have received from Thee. As we think of it in thanks that we have been given much more than many others. We have been given Thy Holy Word when there are those who do not know it. We have been given many blessings in nature that others do not have, that are suffering under the ravages of war, nature, the homeless, the hungry, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, when we have freedom. And we pray that as we have that freedom, we won't be left at ease in Zion or in a lukewarm way because of it, but that we might take advantage of the freedom that we have to make Thy Word known, to be a salt and light in our nation again, in regard to our nation, in regard especially to our homes that are so troubled and broken, particularly for the children in the broken homes in the next generation, that the church might be a salt and light to them instead of a salt that have lost its savor. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing also on those in sickness and injury. We pray for those that are near death, some of them, that they might still be healed if it could be Thy will, and if not, that they will be prepared for that solemn hour of death. We pray for the many that are in sickness, and we give thanks for the health that we have. We pray for those in hunger, those in sorrow, that Thou would give comfort and teaching. We pray for other needs that there are, and again, give thanks, Father, for what we have. We pray for the needs in the schools that are being told so many lies. Children are not being taught what is needed. And we pray, Father, that the church might be a salt and a light in regard to the homes and the schools to teach once again Thy Word, that Thou art our Creator, that Thou art our Lawgiver, and knowing that rightly, that we will know the need of Thee through Christ as a Redeemer. We pray for other needs that there are and give thanks for other blessings that we have received, all through Christ Jesus alone. Amen. As we look at this word once more, we have been going rather slow through this 10th chapter. The 9th and 10th chapter spoke of Paul's concern for his brethren. As we read in the 9th chapter, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And the 10th chapter begins with, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer is that they might be saved. Paul has that very, very plainly and describes both his own ways and them. We see also he describes his own way in the beginning of the 11th chapter when he said, I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. He is one of those that is described in the first verse that we read. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. How was Paul saved? When was he saved? There are many ways that we could give in reference to that, but one of them was as Christ described him. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's what he was doing. He was on the way to Damascus to persecute, to bind, to bring believers back to Jerusalem and imprison them. And he agreed with it when there were believers who were killed. That's where Paul was. That was his natural self. He was one of those, as all of us, and I know it for myself, as already described by the psalmist. We read in Psalm 53, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's not a scripture that is easily believed, and because we don't believe it, when we sing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, many come, thinking what they have done, what they have done to receive salvation because of what they did. And I know what it is. I thought that way for 10 years in my life, what I did. Though a person that believes what they did will often say it's Christ alone, that is really not true. It's not Christ alone. The difference between them and others is what they did. They would believe that Christ died for all, but all are not saved because some do the right thing and others do not the right thing. But that is not the reason why we come to God in repentance, why we come to Christ in faith. The reason is, as we read, verse 5 of chapter 11, even so then at the present time, there is also a remnant according to the election of grace. God's choosing in grace alone. Totally undeserved grace. Undeserved mercy. Undeserved salvation. Unearned. None of us earned it any more than what Paul was doing on the road to Damascus, kicking against the pricks. We ought to know as well, as Christ said to him, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Probably referring to those driving oxen. When an ox did not go the right way and the right speed, he was probably poked with a sharp stick. And if he would kick back, it would be even worse. He would kick against that prick. That was probably what Christ was referring to. Paul would know that well, and he would liken Paul to that. And we are the same. Paul asked in the third chapter, are we better than they, referring to others? And his answer was, in no wise. We have together become unprofitable. Unprofitable. None that give glory to God as we should. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need to think about that latter phrase especially. Come short of the glory of God. We all would admit to some extent we are sinners. And we all admit we do some bad things. As I just talked to one recently, well, yes, I have some sin, but I don't think I'm that bad. But we measured in that way. Often comparing ourselves with others, comparing ourselves with the law of God, but do we think of coming short of the glory of God? God has placed us here for that purpose, for His glory. When we think of that word glory, and glory to His name, as we sometimes sing, it is much the same as hallowed be thy name. That must be lifted up. When David Brainerd was converted, in the first part of his seeking, he realized that he was just seeking in a selfish way, seeking for himself. And he said, I did not seek for the glory of God. And he even described it as an horrible abuse of God, even in his seeking. But he's doing it selfishly. And many do that. They want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell. So they will seek the Lord. But we must seek the Lord, because we did not give Him glory. And we must seek Him to be forgiven for not doing that. And we must seek Him also so we will begin to do that through Christ, who gave glory to the Father and who spoke of it. The Father glorifying Him and He glorifying the Father. That is spoken of many times in the Scripture. And that is there that we must see and know. Part of the doctrine of Scripture. Part of the doctrine that we need to be reproved in not believing it rightly. We need to be brought to repentance. And then, knowing we didn't do it, that's true repentance. And then begin to do it is also a part of repentance and doctrine. We need to see that each one of us are like this, that Paul said, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. We have seen the last part of verse 16, Lord, who hath believed our report? Those words were quoted by Paul here from Isaiah 53, verse 1, asking that question. It is really true that none of us have believed the report as we should. Both the report of God, who He is, and the report of who we are. And then to see the great distance, to see ourselves as Isaiah would describe us a little bit later in our relationship to Christ. When he says, when we saw Him, there was no beauty that we should desire Him. Do we believe that report from God concerning us? That we are that wicked, that we do not see aright what He gave in His love, His only begotten Son? Yes, we come short of giving God glory in that, and coming short of recognizing and giving adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is. And when God gave Him, the sad words are there. There was no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men. The Gospel of John, we read, He was in the world, the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The world doesn't know its Creator. Let me repeat that. The world doesn't know its Creator. And one of the reasons the secular world doesn't know it is because so much of the church does not believe it. It's taught in schools, Christian schools, taught in colleges, taught in seminaries, the lie of evolution. And I know I mention this often, but we have got to come to see the terrible sin that that is. And if we do not give God glory in that, as we read in Romans 1, when they knew God, they worshiped Him not as God, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's where we are as a nation. We're teaching all over in our schools the lie of evolution. And we are in the dark. Some people speak of the Islamic danger. They speak of the communist danger. But when we are in the dark in regard to God, the Creator, all the rest can easily advance on us and take over. We are in the dark. It shows in our homes. It's part of the problem with our young people. They talk about mental health, and we spend millions to try to cope with it. Now the talk is to send psychologists to the school to deal with the mental health. The mental health is much the result of a broken home, much the result of being in the dark in regard to creation, much the result of all the lies told rather than believing what God said, male and female created He them, bringing confusion. People dissatisfied their life often want to change what they are from male to female or from female to male. And when they are changed, when they do change, they are frustrated because it didn't help. And it won't help. The only answer is coming back to God. The only answer is, with it, coming back to God through Christ. And we must have both. Not just to receive Christ, but coming back to God in repentance. Coming back to God just as I am. The fourth verse says, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, we need sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yes, that's the answer for the children that we talk about the mental problems. Healing of the mind. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And Paul, turning from being a persecutor to having the mind like a little child, but the mind of Christ. And that's what he wanted for others. God gives it to those that are described here as the remnant, according to the election of grace. Sadly, not many are being added to the church today. We have to face that. We have to realize it. It should bring us on our knees. It should bring us on our face. It should make us cry out to God that the church is lessening in our country. Over the past years, about 2% a year. I think that number is increasing. When they take questions and question the young people, they say when they leave high school, they're going to leave the church when they go to college. So the number will probably increase in the years ahead unless God intervenes. Unless God does what we read here, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. As I said, that was true of Paul. I know it myself. I was satisfied with myself too long. And then God began to teach me and began to make me know I was nothing but a sinner that could do nothing but sin. Before that, I thought I was a child of God. I was a Christian. I was a member of church. I was as good as the rest, and if the rest were Christian, so was I, based mainly on my own works, on the works of others. Yes, we all knew about Christ, but that was not in the forefront. That was not our resting place. Knowing it, but not receiving it at all in our need. Not knowing in repentance what it was to say, just as I am. What is it really when we come to know ourselves just as I am before God? We are deserving of hell, and we are on the road to hell. We will perish if we're not saved. Perishing is going to an eternal hell. Eternally perishing. Paul, knowing in it, when he wrote to the Corinthians, said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. How we come short of that. How I come short of that. Yes, we talk. But do we know it in such a way that we persuade each other? Do we know it in such a way that we will do, as Paul said to the church of the Hebrews, exhort one another. Tell each other what is needed. That's what we should be doing. If we did it and believed it, what would we do? I think we would say, let's pray together. Let's learn together. The problem with the apostles was, before Christ's death, they were arguing who was the greatest. Can people pray together when they argue who is the greatest? Can they pray in one accord, in one place? No. The argument is there. I'm greater. Who is the greatest? But when we know ourselves like Paul did, the chief of sinners, and everyone thinks that, it'll be very easy to pray. And that's what we need today. We need to know, each one of us, to be taught directly by God, by His Spirit, through His Word, that we are the chief of sinners. That may not sound good to say it to you, but if God teaches us, He will teach us our sin greater than another, and He will give us the beginning of His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, which is love, love that thinketh no evil, love that hopeth all things, love that believeth all things through Christ. And then we will think like Paul did. Paul, who, from all we can read, what he believed, what he did, I would say he was the least of sinners. But he calls himself the greatest of sinners. He felt that. That's why he wrote it, writing it to Timothy. An amazing thing happened one time when someone was preaching from it. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but it bears repeating. A boy, described as somewhat less than full understanding, he was a boy that carried packages for people many years ago, walking by a church, heard the singing, and walked in. Sat there as a poor boy amongst people that were higher class than himself. The preacher gave out those words, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And each one of those phrases struck him. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world. True, true, true. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God came into this world, humbled himself, and went to the death of the cross. True, faithful saying. To save sinners. He came to save a sinner like me, a sinner like you. Have you been saved as a sinner? Have you been saved just as you are, as God says so? Have you come to that repentance? If we did, our churches would be different. Our doctrine would be different. There would be no room for pride. There wouldn't be so many broken homes. There wouldn't be the lie of evolution. There wouldn't be the lie of thinking we're different than God created us, male and female. All of those lies are there because we do not know ourselves. Like Paul said in the last phrase, he wrote to Timothy, of whom I am chief. Again, think of the whole phrase. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That boy believed it. He went home and thought it. He says, it's all true, and I'm the chief of sinners. But Jesus Christ came to save a sinner like me. And then they were sick. They told the preacher about it. And the preacher went. They told him. The preacher was there. He paid very little attention. But then he heard that preacher's voice. And he got excited. And he said, that's the voice I heard saying, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Think of that second phrase. Worthy of all acceptation. Every one of us should receive it. Every one of us should be thankful for it. But instead, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Going back to Isaiah, when we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. Why? Pride. Christ is to us a stumbling block. That's what Paul said of those that he was born amongst. The last verse of that chapter is, but to Israel he saith, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. That is true of them. And then we read in the next chapter the warning that Paul gives to the rest of the world. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. And that could happen to us in our darkness, in our denying God as Creator, God as Lawgiver, when he says, thou shalt not murder, and we murder the unborn. By the thousands every day, 2,000 or 3,000 a day, babies murdered in their mother's womb. Can you think of anything more terrible? And that's happening in our country. Yes, we read it of the descendants of Abraham of old. They offered their children to Moloch and other gods of the nations round about. But we are doing the same. We are not recognizing our Creator, our Lawgiver, nor our Redeemer. Do you know him? Have you come to him just as you are, without one plea, but one hope, that Jesus' blood was shed for me? That's my hope. Listen to the next stanza. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Let's do like John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.